Three.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of the workingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. Today is Casual Tuesday in the studio. For me, I'm trying to make pretend summer has not disappeared and fall is not happening. My special guest today is Dan Sheehan, who plays in the Dan Sheehan Conspiracy, solo, duo, trio, quartet. The more money you throw at him, the more pieces he brings. Am
that's
I
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm. You that, got it.
That's the way we roll.
How it works. It is working musicians, after all.
That's right. So, what, Dan? When you work solo, you play acoustic guitar?
Yeah, pretty much. What I'm going to do today in here is going to be a pretty good indication of that. Usually acoustic guitar and singing, and then other times might have a four-piece rock band and a couple of electric guitars going, bass and drums, and you know, the album, the CD is...
Hold on, I've got to lift it up slowly.
Good job with that slow thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're real professional here. It's going.
Nice. Perhaps you're familiar with the location of the front cover photo.
Well, you know, I can't see it.
Yeah.
Can I put it down, Joe? Okay, thanks. Now I can look at it. No.
Can you? No? You don't go to the library ever, do you? That's behind the New York Public Library. Bryant Park, actually.
I was gonna say Bryant Park, but...
You've been by Bryant Park, I'm sure, in Manhattan.
Well, you know, I lived in Manhattan in the late 70s, 80s, maybe even into the 90s. But everything's changed.
Yeah.
When I left, you couldn't drive your car and leave it parked on the street. Now it's Disney World. They've cleaned
it
up.
Yeah, that area, 42nd Street, definitely.
Well, anywhere.
Yeah.
But, awesome. So when did you cut this record?
I don't even want to mention how long it took me to do it. It was one of these things where I'm being really obsessive, and you know, because basically I did it over a long period of time, and a lot of overdubbing. I had a couple of drummers on it, and the reason there's two drummers is because of the length of time it took. I started out, it was going to be an EP. And I had this guy Spencer Coburn, who was the drummer for Morrissey back in the 90s.
Oh!
Yeah. I met him in New York and got him to drum on it. And we recorded some drum tracks, you know, like a couple of years ago at this point. And then I spent a lot of time, you know, putting bass tracks down, guitar tracks, vocal tracks, a few other random instruments. And... then it took so long for me to do that. By the time the EP was going to be done, I had all these other songs. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, spend even more time on it and make it a full album.
So and was the drummer gone by that time?
Yeah, he was. Spencer goes back and forth between New York and London, so he was in England at the time. So I got this session guy, Roy Starr, a real good New York City session drummer. We went to another studio in Brooklyn. Did the new drum tracks, and then laid down all the other stuff.
So. Now, did you lay your stuff down in the studio, or did you take it and use Pro Tools and just do it in your apartment, you know, jacked into the computer?
Combination, actually. The drums were done in a couple of studios, this nice studio called Low Fish in Manhattan, and then the other drums at Monsterland Studio in Brooklyn. And then... my parts were mostly done. I was renting a project studio in Times Square. I'm going to actually play a song later where I talk about my experience. You know, I was kind of subletting a couple of days at this project studio called Skyview Sound. And because I never really like working, you know, where you've got like the hourly rate and you're on the clock and you're like, oh, how much is this costing? So I was paying a certain amount a month and getting to use the studio a couple of nights and weekend days. And yeah, I was really busy doing a lot of things at the time. So the song I'm going to play later is called Before You Wake, and it's about how my girlfriend was really good about tolerating me spending so much time working on the album, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're happy with how it came out?
Yeah, yeah. Finally, after a lot of, going back and forth, it's not mixed 100% perfectly, and getting a lot of feedback from people.
So when was it released?
It was released, I'd say January of this year. Physically, okay. I had it and was like selling it at shows and whatnot in the end of 2007. But January of 2008 is when it officially got released and started getting played on some radio stations and things like that, and had the CD release party.
The CD release party. Cool. Is it for sale on CD Baby or on your website? Or?
Yeah, it's for sale on CD Baby, on my website, which is dansheehan.net.
And how would one spell that if you wanted to?
I'm glad you asked. Dan, D-A-N. Sheehan is S-H-E-E-H-A-N. And then .net, not .com. If you go to dansheehan.com, you get confused because there's another Dan Sheehan who lives in New Jersey, and he's a musician as well.
And he got there first.
Yeah, and some people have seen his site and thought it was mine at first. And yeah, but yeah, so it's on. You can get it on iTunes, and pretty much if you Google, my name, especially if you put the conspiracy part, Dan Sheehan conspiracy, you'll find a zillion places where you can order it.
Now, what's that conspiracy about?
I mean, well. It's just the Dan Sheehan band seemed kind of bland, Jimi Hendrix already took the experience, so had to come up with another one. As it turns out, there's another guy named Dan Sheehan who is into like UFO conspiracies, and I didn't know that at the time, but if you go to YouTube and type my name, his stuff might come up. And I tried to work the conspiracy thing into the cover. On the front, I've got, I'm kind of looking around in the park like, who's out to get me? And got the guitar case there. And then when you see the back cover, you see the guitar case is all full of money. So,
how about playing us a few tunes from the record?
All right, I can do that. Do want to always recommend that people stay hydrated. Take a little sip.
Never rush.
Grab the guitar.
Never rush into picking up the guitar, right?
And I guess I'll play the song I was talking about. It's one of my few ballads that I've written. It's called Before You Wake. Standing here Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, that's just the way you described it.
Yeah.
So what else have you got for us today?
You want me to carry on? All right.
Carry on, my wayward.
I did a ballad. So this is a song that's a rocker on the CD. It's got, you know, crazy guitar solos and everything. I'm not going to try to replicate that on here.
Did you play the crazy guitar solos on the album?
Yeah. I pretty much did everything except play the drums, actually.
Okay.
This is a song called CK, and it's actually about two brothers, the Kirkwood brothers. Have you ever heard of them? They're in the band The Meat Puppets. And, yeah, The Meat Puppets, kind of 80s, 90s band, recent reunion. And I'm actually going to play a couple of shows in Phoenix soon. And it's kind of ironic. This song kind of became like a hit song at this radio station in Phoenix, KWSS.
From your album?
Yeah. And this band, The Meat Puppets, is from Phoenix. And the lyrics are based on a bunch of crazy stuff I read in an article from a Phoenix newspaper I saw online about some crazy stuff going on between the two brothers in the band.
Cool.
You know, anytime there's a band with a couple of brothers, you know, like Oasis, the Black Crowes, you know, there's always something crazy going on. So,
always fine. Every time there's a female lead vocalist in the band.
Oh, tons of how about a couple of them, like Fleetwood Mac, you know. All right, so this is CK.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Powerful voice. Very powerful voice.
I try.
Now, when you play live, do you play rhythm guitar or lead guitar, or you put the guitar down and just front?
No, I definitely am playing guitar. At times I've been the only guitar player. Sometimes it's just a trio, so just I'm doing everything and switching between sounds a lot. You know, occasionally, you know, you hit the wrong pedal and you're like, wait, what's that? Where'd that flanger come from or whatever?
Got a big pedal board?
You know, I consolidated and, you know, just got one unit Korg Tone Works thing.
Oh.
Yeah, a bunch of effects in it. And more recently we have played with another guitar player, and it kind of switches. It kind of depends on, you know, is this song like... Is the lead part like dependent on my particular style, or is it something the other guy's style is going to be good for? Is it what's going to work with singing best? You know, banging out chords or playing leads, or
so people can find out. We talked earlier mm-hmm. about clubs and where you play, and you were telling me that you play a lot of different clubs, but you repeat maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
Club. So people would need to go to your website to find out where you're playing, especially if the show is a repeat.
Uh-huh.
So you're going out to Arizona. You bring in four-piece or three-piece?
That's just going to be me playing by myself. Going to go to a radio station, the station, you know, that plays that song, and play on the air, kind of like here without the video cameras. And doing a show at a place called Mama Java's in Phoenix that night, and then next night playing at a place called Plush in Tucson. And probably in March of 2009, gonna actually play a few shows in Texas in conjunction with the South by Southwest Festival and a couple of colleges, University of Texas, San Marcos. And for that, I'm gonna have my drummer from my old band play with me. I lived in Boston for about 7 years, and I was in a band based out of Boston called Banter. And this guy actually lives down in Texas now, so we're going to reconnect.
Cool.
And play a few shows down there. Yeah.
Let's move on to the canned questions.
Okay.
The questions we talked about. Mm-hmm. What song made you want to be a rock star?
Oh, song. I thought in the can it says songs.
What songs? I'm not going to quibble. Pick
okay.
songs. 5 songs, 10 songs, whatever.
5 songs.
2 songs, whatever.
You know, when I saw you mention, you know, that you probably asked me that, I remember this moment when I was sitting, I have an older brother, he's like 5 years older than me, and he was playing this Who album, Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy. And I remember sitting in his room, and he had that on, and these songs like I Can See for Miles and Kids Are All Right. And I remember being like, it was like a moment when I was like, man, you know, this music is really cool. You know, it's like really touching me. And I think I'd already been taking guitar lessons, you know, just because like my brother did. But at that moment, I was like, yeah, I really want to get into it. You know,
it's funny because part mm-hmm. of that last song has some of the chords from I Can See for Miles in there. Actually, in the same way that they played it.
Oh, you mean the song I played?
The song you just played.
Oh, okay. So I guess like the E.
The E.
The AGA thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I could. Yeah, that was awesome. It's interesting. That's, you know, I was watching on TV the tribute to the Who.
I saw that. Yeah.
They had Pearl Jam. They had the Foo. I thought the Foo Fighters were pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought they did a pretty good job.
I wasn't expecting Young Boy Blues, or Young Man Blues, or whatever.
Well, that's not a Who song.
Yeah.
So that's the funny thing. Yeah. I'm surprised that they did it.
Yeah.
That was like a group that had one hit, and then the Who covered it.
Mm-hmm.
But my girlfriend was watching it with me, and we're both thinking that the Dave Grohl, man, he's going to have serious neck problems. He's shaking his head like this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's definitely going to be in the hospital. But, so The Who was an influence, that album. Name some other songs.
I'd say, Led Zeppelin was a big influence. Songs that would be a big influence by them. like Good Times, Bad Times, a lot of stuff from like that first album, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. And aside from it just being one song, something I like about those groups is that they vary things up. You know, it's not like they got one formula and they stick with it. And, you know, one track to the next, you'll have like a pretty soft tune and then a rocker. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I know the first album I ever had was Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles.
Kind of a thrown together album.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, one side was kind of the movie soundtrack, the other side was the hits.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that till years later, because I was like 8 years old when I got it, didn't know all that. But, I was a kid, like, during the 80s, and I wasn't that tuned into a lot of the music that was going on at the time, and I listened back to a lot of older 60s and 70s rock stuff. And then in the 90s, like the early 90s, I got into a lot of stuff that was coming out then. You know, speaking of Dave Grohl, you know, got into some of the grunge stuff and everything.
The Nirvana stuff?
Yeah. And Pearl Jam, who was also at the Who tribute. Thought they did pretty good, actually.
Funny, a friend of mine went to see him recently, and he said, they're just a garage band playing Madison Square Garden.
Which, about Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. That's what a lot of people that play Madison Square Garden are.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's move on to another question, which is if you could put together your own group of people living or dead, or you could replace someone in a group.
Mm.
Tell me what would you do?
Well, of course, I would never actually replace the guys I play with.
Well, you could add yourself.
Although sometimes I have to replace them because they disappear. But I'd probably have a Geddy Lee on bass from the band Rush, and another guitar player, maybe Dave Navarro. You know Dave Navarro.
Yeah. He was on Chili Peppers, Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, he's on that one Chili Peppers album, which no one likes except for me. Yeah, but and probably Dave. Dave Navarro. Drums, maybe Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins. Although I wouldn't mind Stephen Perkins, who was also in Jane's Addiction as well.
Cool. I love it when a guy comes prepared. Did your homework.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Anyone on keyboards? Or?
I've never played much with a keyboard player. So, one of the bands I like that has a lot of keyboards going on is Yes. And they've got a few keyboard players that I liked. But Rick Wakeman, maybe. But my stuff's not as prog as that, you know. But
it's so interesting. This past summer was the summer of we don't care if our lead singer's dead. We're going on the road. Boston went on the road.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Journey's on the road.
He's actually alive, right?
Well, I'm saying
the original guy from Journey.
Yes.
He's alive, right?
Right,
yeah.
But
thought I might have missed something. But.
No. You're absolutely right. He's alive, but a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I don't know Steve Perry personally. I think he has a beautiful voice, but obviously, yes, their lead singer was ill, so they couldn't go.
But they didn't tour, did they?
They're going out on tour now, so I'm extending the summer.
I saw John Anderson, the singer of Yes, singing with the School of Rock kids.
Right.
It was just pretty good. It was cool. Like they. Every song, like a new group of kids comes out, and then you might see they got like, I don't know, something like 30 kids that you'll see in different combinations on stage, and sometimes there's like three of them all playing guitar, whereas like with Yes, they just have like Steve Howe play everything. Obviously they made some blunders, but they did really good, you know, for some teenagers.
Well, Dan, want to thank you for coming down for part one.
Uh-huh. Looking forward to part two.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me.
Smile for the camera. Cheese. All right, good job.
Cool.
So you see how it flows.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You did a good job.
Thanks.
Do you need to go to the bathroom or do anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then he's going to have to unplug you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Not a problem. Everything okay, Keith?
Yep.
All right. Definitely got to get some more water, too.